Today we want to look at how we can be thankful, or thankfulness, you collectively use thanksgiving. Thankfulness is an excellent virtue to cultivate in our lives, and I think we understand that. It means to be appreciative of a benefit or to be grateful. To thank someone is an expression of gratitude. Sometimes we say it is an attitude of gratitude. An attitude has a lot to do with how thankful we really are. And if we go through life thinking that everybody owes us their time and attention, we are perhaps less likely to be thankful. On the other hand, if we come to the realization that we are not an island, we are not self-sufficient, we aren't the best at everything, and sometimes maybe we could use a helping hand, we are possibly more likely to be thankful or express our appreciation. So having said all that, I want to look at some ways that we can perhaps be more thankful. These are not original with me, but when you hear them, I think you'll be able to identify with them. Number one, determine to give thanks in all things. Determined to give thanks in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, part of our text. How do we do that? How do we give thanks in all things? Well, certainly we don't give thanks to God for tragedies and terrible accidents. We don't do that. That's not what the text says. We thank God for his provision, for his presence. We thank him for his power as we walk through perhaps a particular trial. And even in the worst of trials, we can still be thankful. We can thank God for his mercy and grace. Now, all of you know about our son Mark, and we lost him in an accident. Now, I got to tell you, I'm thankful that didn't happen at home. It was a traffic accident. It was away from home. And the reason I am is most of the time you hear it, every summer, it seems like we hear about farm accidents, and we farm. And it's a real possibility that it's always there. And I always thought, you know, if that would have happened at home, that'd just be something else I'd have to deal with. We don't. I'm thankful for that. I really am. You might not agree with that. You might think that's strange, but I am thankful for that. My heart, when I hear about a farm accident, since we farm, I guess it just touches us a little more. My heart goes out to those people. It really does. Because that's something that they have to endure. We can thank God for all sorts of things. He wants us to be thankful, and many times we are, and that's good. Yep. I'm getting a little competition here. That's okay. But he wants us to be thankful in the little things as well as the big things. Yeah, he wants that. When asked to list what he was thankful for, one little boy wrote, "My glasses." "That's good," said the teacher. "They help you see better, right?" "No," responded the little boy. "I'm thankful for my glasses because they keep the other boys from fighting me and the girls from kissing me." Who knew? You know, we are blessed in a variety of ways. God blesses us in ways that we tend to overlook. What about the air that we breathe? Now, I just read this week, each of us takes 23,000 breaths a day. 23,000, that's a lot of them. You multiply that by all the people here, just here this morning. Now, if you run, it's probably more. I don't run too much, but if you're a runner, you probably take more breaths, okay? What about the water that we drink? We don't think about it so much, but God made all of that. And if we stop to think about God's provision for us each and every day, it's staggering. Everything that we touch in a given day can be tied to God's provision for us. If we eat breakfast, sometimes I do, sometimes, well, I don't. But if we eat breakfast and we grew our breakfast in a garden or something, who made the dirt and who made the rain and who provided all that? If we bought our breakfast, who gave us the means to do that? It all comes back to God's provision for us. God did it. He provides every good and perfect thing for us each and every day. I didn't think about this so much, but last year, I had heart surgery, and I prayed that the Lord would guide the hands of the surgeon. I don't know what kind of day he was having that day. I was hoping it was a good day, and things worked out. So I guess you could say he probably did. Sometimes we get so busy, we work all day, and at the end of the day, we're further behind than when we started. And then what do? We grumble, and we growl, and maybe we complain a little bit. Why? Why do we do that? Too much work is a problem, but it's not always a bad thing. We say sometimes it's a good problem to have. You know, we need to remind ourselves, God doesn't give us anything more than we can handle. He knows it. He knew it before it happened. If God blesses us in a big way, again, thank Him for it. If he blesses us in a smaller way, thank Him for that too. Give thanks in all things. Secondly, try praising God in less than perfect circumstances. Acts 16 records these words. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, this is a familiar story. Where were Paul and Silas? They weren't in a hymn sing, and they weren't in church. They were in prison, and it was midnight. And they were in, the scripture says, an inner cell that was reserved for some of the worst people, and they even used, from what I understand, they even held people in there that they possibly tortured. And because of that, they're there and they're singing. The Bible even says they had their feet in stocks. So there you have a picture of two men in stocks in prison at midnight after they had already been beaten. Can't imagine there was too much light in an inner cell at midnight in the first century. That's interesting. We don't read about these guys complaining. It's not recorded. But after a day like that, they chose to praise God through prayer and song. Now, we all have good days and we all have bad days. Life is full of ups and downs. We understand that. That's the way it is. And this little poem reminds us of that. And as soon as I read this, you'll recognize it. I'll just share a few words. God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. I'm sure many of you have heard that or read that. But at the end, it says, but God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. When things don't go the way we had hoped, we can react in different ways. We can shake our fist at God and say, "Why me, Lord? Why me?" Or we can try praising him, even though we may not feel like it. We may not. That's hard. I mean, we can't live by our feelings. I think we understand that. They're just too volatile. But the other thing I always say is, you know, and you've heard me say this before, if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. It's not. It's not easy to praise the Lord when things aren't going well. But he asks us to try to do that. Try to praise God when things don't go so well. Helps us to be a little more thankful. Another thing is try writing down the good things in our lives. I don't know how many, some of you probably journal and keep a record of, you know, maybe you keep a record of things that happened, or you write things, how your day was, or different things like that. I can't tell you, I'm not a journalist. I'll tell you that up front. But if you can, try to keep track of the good things that God has done for you. You know, it's easy to remember the bad things. We don't even have to think about it. We can rattle that off. Right? It's just like they're always there. It's easy to grumble, right? It's easy to complain. They just seem to stick with us. Very little effort. But if you can keep track of the good things that happen, things that God allowed to come into our lives, we may be surprised at how much good things outnumber the bad things. And if you take the time to record them, you can reference them when you're going through a particular tough time. God gives us all kinds of reminders of his goodness to us, and writing them down can be helpful. Another thing we can do, prayer helps us to be thankful. A biblical example is David. Now listen to these words out of Psalm 142. And this is the beginning. This is the beginning of Psalm 142. I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I make supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. David shares his trials with God. And he was no stranger to adversity. And even though we could make the case that maybe some of David's trials were self-inflicted, you could make that case, he still came to the Lord many times with his troubles. And many of those times, when he didn't stay there for long. When David experienced a trial, oftentimes he went to the Lord. One writer says it this way: in nearly every psalm where David pours out his heart during his pain, his griefs, his trials, or his struggles, he still concludes the psalm with praising God and giving him glory. Now, listen to the end of Psalm 142. We read the beginning. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. In that psalm, David's disposition changes from I pour out my complaint to praising God. You shall deal bountifully with me. Just coming to the Lord and sharing our concerns goes a long way in healing wounds that we may have. And in turn, helps us to be thankful to God for his mercy and grace, for his healing, for becoming our strength. I don't know about you, sometimes I wake up too long before it's time to get up. Middle of the night. Sometimes I wake up and I can't go back to sleep. And sometimes I think it's the Holy Spirit prompting me to write or read or do something. But I read something a long time ago, and most of you probably heard this. It says, if you have trouble sleeping, instead of counting sheep, talk to the shepherd. That's what I do. I stop counting sheep. I talk to the shepherd. It's amazing how well it helps you. So if we experience hardship, take it to the Lord. Another thing, help others. Helping others can help us to be more thankful. What does that do? Well, one thing is it takes a focus off of me. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We get that from Matthew 16. Now, in this passage, Jesus is talking about following him, obviously. And he's telling the disciples, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Take up your cross. He's driving at the point of clinging to this life and holding on too tight. All right? Wanting whatever the world has to offer. And he promises that if we let go the distractions of this life and what they have to offer for his sake, he offers us life in him. And he makes the point more clear when he says, if we gain everything in the world and everything in this world that it has to offer and lose our soul, at the end of the day, what did we gain? What can we give in exchange for our soul? And the reality of it is we can't. We can't give anything. There is nothing that we can give in exchange for our soul. There is something to be said for helping others. Doing something for someone else sometimes fills an important need, even for us. It helps us to realize maybe how much we have and maybe how little someone else has. It reminds us that maybe we're not so bad off after all. It's always easy to focus on what we don't have, isn't it? We're not worried about what we already have. We want to move on to what we don't have. We know that the challenge is to count our blessings, all right? Last thing, this is a big one as far as how to be more thankful. Learn to be content. Learn to be content. I'll share this story. The Russian author Tolstoy, probably heard of him, tells the story of a rich peasant who was never satisfied. He always wanted more. He heard of a wonderful chance to get more land for 1,000 rubles. I have no idea what that's worth. He could have all the land he could walk around in one day. 1,000 rubles, all the land that you can walk around in one day is yours. One condition, he had to make it back by sundown to where he started or lose the money. He rose early and set out. He walked on and on, his greed driving him just a little further as he saw new territory. Finally, he realized that he had to turn back. And he had to walk very fast if he was going to get back in time to claim the land. As the sun got lower in the sky, he quickened his pace. As the sun neared the horizon, he began to run. Finally, He saw the starting place. His heart was pounding rapidly, and he was gasping for breath. But he gave it everything he had and plunged over the finish line, fell to the ground, and collapsed just seconds before the sun disappeared below the horizon. Tolstoy penned those words in 1886. But it's just as relevant today as it was then. A t-shirt puts it this way: all I want is a little more than I'll ever have. All I want is a little more than I'll ever have. Let's face it, the world instills in us the attitude to be happy, I need more. Then it can be different things for each of us. To be happy, I need more. Now, this article says that's the underlying assumption behind all advertising. You can't be happy until you own our product. I'm not sure I looked at it that way, but if you want to enjoy life, then you need this. I think we can see that. I think we understand that. Contentment. What is it? The dictionary says it is a state of happiness and satisfaction. 1 Timothy 6:6, Paul writes these words. He encourages Timothy, a young pastor. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Now, there's a recipe for contentment. The food that we eat, that's pretty important. Clothes that we wear, that's pretty important. We have that. We can be content. But then he goes on in Philippians. Now, this is Paul writing again. I have learned, whatever state I am in, to be content. Now, that suggests to me that we are not naturally content. It is something that is learned, something that is gained as we go through life. He goes on to text, in that text, he knows what it is to have a lot and to have a little, and he has learned contentment. Contentment comes from having the priority of godliness, and he mentions that, not gain. Jesus said, we can't have two masters. We cannot serve God and mammon or money. Doesn't say we shouldn't. Says we can't. We can't do that. There are only two choices. We can pursue godliness, or we can pursue material gain. But the caution is, if we pursue material gain, we will probably be less content. And at the end of the day, those that are less content are probably not as thankful as one who is content. One writer says it this way: one of the most evident signs of genuine godliness is a sincere display of appreciation towards your Heavenly Father. In a few days, most of us will gather around a table full of more food than we can ever eat at one time. We'll gather with family and friends. We'll thank God for His provision and blessing. That's good. I love the holiday season for that. I love to gather with family and sit down to a meal. The point is to remind us to be thankful at more than just a holiday season. God's will for us is that we live with an attitude of thankfulness each and every day. Will you pray with me? Father, we take this opportunity to thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your provision. You give us so much that we cannot begin to count it all. We're thankful especially for the gift of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we think on the subject of being thankful, give us an attitude of gratitude that we can be thankful to you and to others around us. Lord, we just ask that you would be the after speaker here, that you would draw our hearts closer to you, that we might be a blessing to you. And we pray these things through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.